Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for holding, and welcome to the BWP Trust 2019 full year results briefing. Your lines will be muted during the briefing. However, you will have an opportunity to ask questions immediately afterward, and instructions will be provided on how to do at this time. I'd now like to hand the call over to the Managing Director of BWP Trust, Mr. Michael Wedgwood.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our full year results teleconference. We've released to the ASX this morning our full year results, our annual report, and the presentation slides, which I'll go through now, and at the end, we'll take questions. As is normally the case, I have with me Andrew Ross, our Portfolio Manager, and David Hawkins, our Finance Manager. If we start on slide five, which just provides a summary of our full year outcomes. Overall, we're pretty comfortable where the trust is positioned at the moment, in what is a very low interest rate, low return, and low growth environment, and potentially environment that's becoming a bit more politically unstable, at least internationally. We're mostly exposed to the Bunnings business, and we expect Bunnings to continue to be resilient through this cycle, however long it lasts, partly because of its strong market position, but more importantly, because Bunnings as a business is in a constant state of evolution. So generally, it can operate effectively in any environment. We have a well-funded balance sheet, sustainable cash flow, and a core portfolio of high-returning, well-located property, and generally good options for any property that Bunnings no longer requires. So in terms of our results, total revenue increased about 2% for the full year, and that was a result of ongoing rental growth in the existing portfolio, the adoption of IFRS 16 for the straight lining of leases, which we talked about at the half year, and that increased revenue for the year by about 4.7 million. And also taking into account property investments, divestments that occurred during the year, and also the rent-free periods while properties are being repositioned that Bunnings has moved out of. Distributable profit for the full year was up 1.7%, and that was from portfolio growth, the IFRS 16 adjustment, changes in the property portfolio, and also a reduction in funding costs over the year. Full year distribution was up 1.7% to 0.181 per unit, and that was in line with what we'd indicated we'd achieve for the year. NTA grew 2.5% to 2.92 dollars for the year, and that was mainly due to a further uplift in the value of the portfolio, which increased by about 53 million dollars for the year, and that was driven by the rental growth and cap rate compression for some of the properties. The trust property portfolio generated a 2.3% like-for-like rental growth on an annualized basis, and that takes into account average inflation on the CPI-linked leases in the portfolio of 1.9%. Portfolio cap rate was 6.3% at the 30th of June, and that's a bit lower than what was recorded at 30th of June 2018. There's only been a small number of new Bunnings properties sold in the last 12 months, which I can talk a bit more about further on, but they've all been strongly bid for, and cap rates have remained in that low 5% range. Portfolio WALE at the 30th of June was 4.4 years, and it's sort of been around that level for the last couple of reporting periods, and that takes into account that the portfolio is made up of properties still in their first term, but sort of in the second half of their first term, and a number of properties that are going through option periods. So as we've indicated before, we'd expect WALE to remain below 5 years unless unless there's a change in the acquisition activity of the trust or there are any other major lease changes where the tenure is extended significantly. And, you know, as we've indicated before, the nature of the Bunnings leases is you're always going to end up in this position in terms of WALE, and that's why we think about and generally talk about duration of occupancy, because we know based on past activity that Bunnings stays typically well beyond the first term of a lease, and you know, in a lot of respects that's driven because Bunnings has generally complete control of where it locates its properties initially, so you should expect them to be there for a long time. The Trust has been an investor in Bunnings Warehouse properties since 1998, so it is inevitable with the ongoing evolution of the Bunnings business that some properties won't continue to meet Bunnings operational requirements, and this has been going on for a few years now, and you know, we would expect from time to time that it is going to continue. The three properties that are currently being repositioned for large format retail are all progressing well, which Bunnings has previously moved out of, and two others, being Mandarin Mentone, have been reformatted and are progressing well in their new formats. At 30th of June, there are 75 properties in the portfolio, and the portfolio was 97% leased. As we've previously indicated, there were four property investments completed during the year. Gearing's around 17%, slightly below our 20 to 30% range, and that's really as a result of the divestments that occurred during the year, and at this point in time, those funds haven't otherwise been deployed. As previously announced, a special distribution of 1.56 cents per unit will be paid from capital profits later this month, and that's in conjunction with a higher level of divestments that occurred during the year. If we go to slide six, I have just provided a little bit of information on Bunnings. Bunnings represents 90% of the income for BWP. As such, its ongoing performance is of major importance to us. There has been a number of updates on the Bunnings performance over the last 6 months provided by Wesfarmers, one being at its half-year results. Since Wesfarmers has sold Coles, it no longer reports retail sales quarterly. You know, the last publicly available update of sales was at the half year. But in March, Bunnings hosted a strategy day in one of its stores. And also in June, Wesfarmers had a strategy day, which Bunnings spoke at. So I guess we feel we've got a reasonable sense of where Bunnings is heading, and feel very comfortable from a covenant perspective of where they're of where they're heading. As I've indicated on that slide, I mean, Bunnings is continuing to work on building a stronger offer in terms of value to customers, the range, and improving its network of stores. It is accelerating the growth of its trade business, and it is also expanding its data and digital capabilities. Bunnings has recently announced the rollout of Click and Collect offer in its store. This concept was originally trialled in Melbourne in a store that in fact BWP owns. It's since been rolled out in Tasmania. I think it's currently being rolled out in Victoria, and then will be rolled out nationally. From what we've seen of the offer, it won't, well, we're not expecting it to have any impact on our stores. It's all operated from within the store. Bunnings Finally, on that slide, Bunnings has a number of sustainability priorities, and we're particularly interested in Bunnings' focus on energy and water. And the reason for that is typically a Bunnings lease is a whole of property lease. So while Bunnings occupies the property, there needs to be a cooperative approach to sustainability related improvements. So, essentially, we need to sort of work together for there just to be better outcomes in the network. So if we go to slide 7, just provides a brief update of where we're at. We essentially focus on improving the energy efficiency of our properties. And LED lighting is a big part of that, and also where it makes sense to do so is solar power generation. So we're making pretty good progress of rolling both of those things out in the portfolio. Water recycling has been a big part of the property portfolio for some time, so pretty much all of the portfolio has some capability, and if it doesn't, it's purely due to the unavailability of space. I should say, look, from a sustainability perspective, BWP's own emissions are quite immaterial because typically tenants are responsible for power costs. The only thing that we are really responsible for is in some properties where there's some shared area with non-Bunnings tenants, like a car park, we may be responsible for the power there. The other part of that slide in terms of climate risk, the approach we've been taking is that each year we'll do a fairly detailed review from a climate risk perspective of our portfolio. I guess because of the diversified nature of it, any risk is fairly localised. However, we do understand each property on an individual basis from a climate risk perspective. We're also currently reviewing our practices and I guess future disclosure with reference to TCFD, and so we'll be making changes to in relation to that over the year. If we go to slide 9, as we do typically, we show just our key financial metrics compared to the prior year, and on slide 10 and 11, we show that on a 6-monthly basis and also on a 5-year basis. I won't talk through those slides, but can take any questions at the end. I've got a slide 13. Just show, as we normally do, the breakdown of what makes up our like-for-like rental growth, and we show also the trend over the last 10 years. Obviously, CPI, has an impact on what the overall number looks like. On slide 14, we show the outcomes of the market rent reviews that were finalised during the year, and two of those being Fishwick and Artarmon, and we spoke about at the half year. So in the second half, the only market rent review that's finalised was our Southport store in Queensland, and that review went to determination. I guess the outcome of the review was that it was broadly in line with market, which was similar to Fishwick and Artarmon. We do still have a number of market rent reviews that are... I'll go to the next slide, slide 15, which shows the breakdown of rent reviews for the year. As you can see on that slide, we still have a number that we need to finalise. And most of those are in determination at the moment, so we're just waiting on that process. There are a small number still being negotiated, which may end up in determination. And the reason why it is taking a bit of time is there can be an order to the market rent reviews, because obviously every rental outcome becomes evidence for other properties. So from time to time, it takes a little while to move through them. But we, given they're already in determination, we would expect outcomes on those properties fairly quickly. And as we've indicated in the past, once they handed down their binding, in this half, we'd expect a fair bit of progress to be made. I guess as a general comment, as with those that have been recently determined, we are expecting rental outcomes fairly close to market at the moment. If we go to slide 16, as we do show typically, we've just updated our chart on market cap trends, and as you can see, it's stayed in a fairly tight band for some time now. In terms of the transactions completed over the last 12 months, there was a property in Queensland, Acacia Ridge, that sold for 5.25%, one in Toowoomba that sold for 5.35%, one in Victor Harbour 5.1%, and one in Gladesville, Sydney for 5%. So it remains in a very tight range between 5 to 5.5%. From our understanding, there's continued to be very strong demand typically for any properties that have come up for sale. If we go to slide 17, which we just provide a bit of info on our June 2019 portfolio revaluation. As I said at the start, the portfolio has tightened a little over the last 6 and 12 months. There were 14 independent valuations done in this last 6 month period, and 61 internal valuations. So if we go to during that period, there were 19 properties which had cap rate tightening, 51 properties with no change, and 5 properties where there was an increase. Cap rate compression occurred where options have been exercised, or where the properties have been repositioned and re-rented, or in some cases where there's been some adjustment to get closer to market. Where the cap rates have expanded, it's mainly been because the properties has moved or is proposing to move out of, or it's nearing the end of a lease term and there's a little bit less certainty as to what's going to happen next. If we go to slide 18, we do provide the information on the independent valuations, and that sort of gives you a bit of visibility, I guess, in terms of what the whole portfolio looks like. In the case of Thorn Lee and Bibra Lake, options were exercised on those properties, so there's been some cap rate compression as a result of that. There has also been cap rate compression for Rydalmere, Arundel, North Lakes, Broadmeadows, Frankston, Springvale and Geraldton, and that just is adjustments which reflect the market, and that's independent valuers making those adjustments. I'll just sort of make a note on Albany. Albany, as was independently valued at the 30th of June, and it had an option exercisable by the 31st of July, which has in fact, or was in fact, exercised on the 29th of July. So the value there, the independent valuer sort of took a fairly conservative view in terms of the valuation on the basis, wasn't sure whether Bunnings was going to exercise that option or not. And the reason for that is there has been a bit of market press to say that Bunnings is putting in for DA approval on another property in Albany. But that being said, they have now exercised that option. So if we go to slide, if we go to slide 20, we just provide, a, I guess, a summary of what the core portfolio looks like. I won't talk to that. It's pretty self-explanatory. Go to slide 21. We normally try to, I guess, visually show what the weighted average lease expiry profile looks like going forward. And as we've done in the past, we've tried to give an indication of what it looks like visually for newer properties which are getting to the end of lease terms versus some of the older properties that, you know, most years there's a higher proportion of newer properties, which typically we would expect to renew. So if we then go to slide 22, which shows property expiries coming up for the next 3 years, and there is quite a few properties on that table, and you know, that's largely historical portfolio acquisition driven. So we did make a couple of portfolio acquisitions a few years ago within a year or two of each other, so they're all sort of starting to come up within that three-year period. I note at the top, there's been five-year options exercised for Bibra Lake, for Albany, for Maitland, Thornleigh and Norralunga in the, over the last short period, but they've all been exercised individually. And earlier in the year, and I think we talked about it previously, that we had an option exercise for Bayswater and also for Browns Plains. In terms of what else is on that chart, we've previously advised that Bunnings is seeking planning approval for a site near our Northland site in Melbourne. At this stage, we have no better information in terms of the timing or likelihood of that going ahead. As we've indicated previously, we have commenced work or have been doing work on determining an alternative solution for Northland in the event that Bunnings does move on. At this stage, with that location, we're pretty confident that we'll, one way or the other, find a fairly good outcome for that property if we need to. The only other thing probably to call out on that chart, obviously some of these properties are a fair way out, so we don't, you know, we don't necessarily have any new or updated information, and I guess we tend to provide the information when we become aware of it. We are aware that Bunnings has been seeking planning approval for an alternative site in Midland in Perth. At this stage, we aren't certain of the timing or likelihood of that going ahead, but as we typically do, if we get an indication that there might be something happening in the future, we start work on what our options are. So we're starting to go down that path on Midland. And, I mean, as you can see on the chart, we've still got a couple of years to go on that property. On slide 23, we've just provided a brief summary. We've just finalised an upgrade of our Croydon store in Melbourne with Bunnings. It's at a cost of $4 million, funding rate 5.5%, and you can see some of the details on that slide. On completion, Bunnings will enter into a new 10-year lease. That particular property had a 10-year existing 10-year option on it, so that will remain in place. And there aren't any other changes to that lease. So, you know, that's a good outcome for Bunnings, a good outcome for BWP, and, you know, we continue to talk to Bunnings where we can in terms of the existing portfolio, in terms of doing things like this, which improves our tenure and gives Bunnings the offers that it needs to stay relevant in whatever market it's operating in. Slide 25, just a bit of an update on Hoxton Park. We have commenced construction on the repositioning of that store. That, as you probably recall, that store had a bit of a lease tail still to Bunnings. We have lease commitments for 70% of the new reformatted properties, so we actually needed to get on with construction. So we did negotiate an outcome with Bunnings to surrender its lease and for us to be paid for the a proportion of the outstanding lease, but it did allow us to get on with the construction so that we can deliver the product in accordance with what the new tenants want. So that, as I said, that construction's underway. It should be finished by December. We are in discussions with the balance of that space, either with large format retail or other service providers. So with pretty confident that we'll deliver a completed product, as we've been talking about, and at that time we'll get an appropriate uplift in valuation that's indicated on that slide. In terms of other stores being repositioned, Mandra work was completed in December. A-Mark Furniture's trading, Snooze is trading, and we are in negotiations on the balance of that space. Cairns, I think we indicated at the half year that we were heading down the path of it being a multi-tenanted industrial development, and so we've done quite a bit of work on that. That's being marketed at the moment. We are in discussions with a potential tenant for the majority of the space, so that's sort of progressing reasonably well at the moment. Port Macquarie, planning approval in place to convert that to large format retail and to develop it. We have executed an AFL with AMART for the majority of the space, and we're progressing with the balance of the space. Construction hasn't started. We're just finalising the final construction terms and cost at the moment, but we expect that to commence in this half, and should be progressed fairly rapidly. Morley, look, as you'll probably remember, that was a store that Bunnings indicated a few years ago that it was moving out of to move into an ex-master store down the road. It did, or it has moved into the ex-master store down the road, but has stayed in this store and kept it open. As far as we know, the store's trading well. And I think we've previously indicated that Bunnings did have a fire in a property closer to the city, which ended up getting burnt down. So keeping Morley open in part has filled that gap. We're not 100% sure what Bunnings' intentions are on that property at this stage. It'd be great if they stayed, but we do sort of have some other options if they do decide to move out. Northland I've spoken about, and Mindari, that's with the state, or it's in the final stages of approving the rezoning at the moment, so we're really just waiting for that to be finalised with the state government, and then we can work out exactly what we do with that property immediately thereafter. Slide 27 is divestments. There's nothing new on that page. The Epping, Oakley South, Altona and Burley Heads have all settled at the time when we indicated they would. Underwood and Belmont North, we had previously indicated we'd entered into conditional option agreements to sell those properties, and satisfaction of those conditions is progressing. It's taking a bit of time. At this point in time, we sort of can't provide any more details, but we will as soon as we can. But certainly things are progressing satisfactorily at this point in time. Slide 29, just providing, as we normally do, information on our debt facilities. I guess the only major change in this most recent half, we did do another bond issue, a seven-year bond issue. Our cost of debt has come down to about 3.8% at 30th of June, and that, you know, through this year will decrease slightly more, but it'll sort of be in that sort of range. So if we go to slide 30, we've just shown that visually in terms of what our debt maturity profile looks like, and on slide 31 we show our interest rate hedging as we normally do. If we go to slide 33, just in terms of our outlook, I mean, it is an interesting macroeconomic environment that we're in at the moment, and it is hard to actually have a clear view on what the other side looks like. I mean, our expectation is that low interest rates, low returns and low growth is going to be around here for some time. And there are a number of macro issues within Australia and externally which are influencing that, but certainly we can't sort of see anything that's necessarily going to change that outlook in the near future. I mean, that being said, we have been operating in this sort of environment for a while. There has been continuing very strong demand for Bunnings-style properties as an investment. We don't see that changing unless there's a significant risk event out there which impacts valuations and or liquidity into the Australian property sector. And if that happens, it's probably going to be a very macro thing that does it. From our own point of view, we believe we're well positioned in this environment. And certainly if there is some event that occurs, we're well positioned for that as well. In terms of low gearing, I mean, our portfolio is generally high returning. Our cash flow, we believe, is sustainable looking forward, and we retain pretty good access to funding if we need it. In terms of rental growth, there's 44 CPI rent reviews this financial year, 47 fixed rent reviews, and there is 11 market rent reviews in this period. In terms of what else we're focused on, obviously anything that Bunnings has, any properties that Bunnings has decided it no longer wants to occupy, we're working on those, as we've indicated, and making good progress wherever that occurs. And obviously we have a forward view as well, where we get indications, so we can advance any repositioning reasonably quickly. As is the case with Croydon, we are continuing to talk to Bunnings about any opportunities to reinvest, and still looking for opportunities to grow the portfolio. From our point of view, it's really driven around whether we think we can create value, over a reasonable time frame. And I guess the initial yield's part of that, the occupancy is part of that, and also the alternative use of the property is part of that. So, while yields are where they are, we are finding it a little bit more difficult, and those other factors are more important. But that being said, fully understand why Bunnings properties remain a very, very attractive investment, because they are for us. In terms of our outlook for distribution this year, taking into account the sort of ongoing growth in our core portfolio, the fact that we did divest four properties last financial year, and also that we are still in the process of repositioning some properties. We'd expect our distribution to be slightly higher than the ordinary distribution that we paid for the year ended June 2019. Look, at this stage, we are in a fairly uncertain environment, so our expectations are reasonably conservative in terms of how we want to progress in that regard. And if necessary, as we've done in the last couple of years, we can use some capital profit to support our distribution where it has been impacted by divestments and other repositionings in the short term. So that's a fairly brief summary of the year and where things are headed. So happy to take some questions now.
We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you need to cancel that request, please press the pound or hash key. Our first question comes from Ben Brayshaw from JP Morgan. Please ask your question.
Hi, it's Ben Brayshaw. Just a question on occupancy, Michael. It's come down marginally over the last 6 months. Could you talk about your expectations, where you think occupancy is likely to trough at in FY20?
I mean, at the moment, it's Cairns, which is vacant, and Underwood has become vacant. And I'm just trying to think. I don't think anything else comes up in this financial year. So Ben, I guess in part it will be a function of how quickly Cairns gets rectified and also how quickly Underwood gets sold. So it may go a bit lower than that, but I mean, they're the two properties.
Okay, thank you. And how are you seeing the potential to extract some positive reversion on the 11 market rent reviews to be finalised as well in FY20?
Yeah, look, I mean, at the moment, I think things are fairly close to market. I mean, you probably, you know, we may get a bit of plus and a bit of minus. I mean, obviously, when things go to determination, you can get outcomes that go either way, but I think, you know, at this stage, based on, you know, what we have been seeing and I guess what our expectations are, I think things generally are pretty close to market at the moment.
Thanks. And finally, just my question on the balance sheet gearing. Is circa 17%, the lowest gearing in the REIT sector, at least in the vehicles that we cover, and we cover 25. So arguably, very strong capital position, and you've got a further two assets that are due to settle in the foreseeable future. What would your preference be for gearing for the remainder of this cycle? Are you happy to let gearing continue to decline? Or would you at some point look to leverage into an acquisition opportunity to, I suppose, you know, optimise gearing if you see there's an issue?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think the answer to the question is we are always looking for investment opportunities that we can create value from, and that's actually the driver. So if we... if we can't find those, we're not uncomfortable with gearing declining. But equally, if we can find them, we're happy, for gearing to certainly get back in the range, which, you know, in the past it's operated in. So I think the answer to the question is we're not necessarily going to do things to fix the gearing for gearing's sake. Our very strong preference is to one way or the other invest in things that we think we can create value from and use the balance sheet for that.
And, great, thanks, Michael.
And to be quite honest, Ben, right at the moment, we don't know how long this cycle's going to last, but I think our view on that hasn't sort of changed, really.
Yep, no, you've been consistent on that for quite a while, so thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
Our next question comes from Adrian Dark from Citi. Please ask your question.
Good morning, Michael and team. I was just interested in some of the commentary in the ASX release around the ongoing evolution of Bunnings' business model and essentially pointing to what I think is sort of a medium-term vacancy issue that you'll need to manage. I think the language there is a little bit stronger than what I've picked up previously. Could you talk about whether you think that's a fair assessment and essentially whether you think we will get through this period of lease expiries, or is this more of a business as usual factor that we should be expecting going forward?
Thanks, Adrian, for the question. And I should say at the outset, I don't think the wording was intended to change the thinking in that regard. It was really more of just a reflection of what Bunnings is, talking about itself. And in that regard, I don't know that, there's been a major shift, in terms of how they're operating, other than that, whichever market they're operating in, they are wanting to provide the best offer. I think in answer to your question, we expect there to be, ongoing vacancies from time to time. Certainly, I don't think we think that should accelerate. We have been through a period when there has been a few, and we aren't expecting that to accelerate at all. And I guess in terms of sort of trying to give visibility 3 years out all the time, certainly, where we are aware of things, typically we'll talk about them. But equally, if we're not aware of things, I think that should be deemed to be a more of a positive than a negative, because, the vast majority of the portfolio either fits the use in its current form or remains important in the market that the store's operating in, because there may be other stores in that market as well. Does that answer that question?
I think it does. Thank you. The dividend outlook for FY20 is a little bit softer than what we've seen for some time, but dividends have been growing faster than earnings, essentially. Could you talk about whether we should be anticipating modest growth in the dividends going forward, or whether you think we will get to a point where earnings are growing sustainably enough to allow the dividend to re-accelerate? I'm just trying to marry up your comments about
a relatively
conservative approach, but also a low growth, low return environment.
Yeah, sure. Look, it's certainly, obviously, when we're selling property, we create an earnings hole, and it's not part of our strategy just to sell property. It's we're purely making the view in particular properties that, that's the thing that's going to create the most value in the medium term, so we should do it and should, you know, live with the consequences that that creates, because we think that's the best thing to do. And so, you know, we do create an earnings hole, but every year the rest of the portfolio is growing, so it certainly catches up. But the, I mean, at the moment, I guess we have two pending other asset sales, which if they do, you know, drop, if you like, well, that will sort of delay that. But yes, everything else being equal, we should, you know, over time, sort of return to a positive position. But I guess we can't give guarantees on it because we don't know, you know, looking out exactly, you know, what's going to happen when in terms of the rest of the portfolio. But it, look, at the moment, I think generally, you know, we are in a very sort of unusual operating environment, and it sort of, I think it pays to be reasonably conservative about outlook, because it's pretty, that is actually uncertain, you know, in terms of the broader sort of macro economy. And I'm not trying to turn that into a negative at all, but it's a bit unpredictable at the moment. So I think, you know, our positioning at the moment is to take a fairly conservative stance in this environment. And given it's a low return, low interest rate, low growth environment, you know, you don't necessarily have a lot to gain. So if your existing assets are reasonably well performing, it's not a bad place to be operating from at this time, we think anyway.
Thank you. And just one final question from me. You mentioned a surrender payment on Hoxton Park. Could you just clarify how that is accounted for from an earnings perspective and also in your operating metrics, please?
Yeah, look, that occurred at the end of June, so there's very little effect in June, but it will play into this financial year and will be included as rent in this financial year. So, you know, effectively, it's like sort of rent to expiry, but the expiry has been brought forward so that we can actually do the construction.
Okay, and then in terms of the operational metrics, you account for that in your comparable net income growth. Is that fair?
In the like-for-like rental growth? No. Yes. No, we removed that because it's not like-for-like.
Okay. All right. Thanks. That's helpful.
Thanks, Adrian.
Our next question comes from Carlos Cocaro from Renaissance Asset Management. Please ask your question.
Oh, hi, Michael. My question is also on the surrender payment for Hoxton Park. So if I understand it correctly, you've received the money and you will be accruing it progressively over FY20?
Correct, Carlos.
Right. So the full $2.15 million in FY20?
Yeah, effectively, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And was there any surrender payments in the previous year?
No. I mean, in the case of anything we divested, they were settled on expiry, and I think in the case of anything else, you know, construction started at the end of expiry. So it's, in this case, it's really just managing the fact that there was still a reasonable lease tail, but it made more sense to actually get on and get it constructed, given we had leases in place, for the repositioned store. There was more value to be created from that.
Okay. And apologies if this has been asked already. I was off the call for a couple of minutes. But you mentioned click and collect in the Bunnings stores, all operated out of the stores. Does that have any longer-term implications for the footprints of the stores?
At this stage, I guess we don't think so. What we've seen, and the Bunnings trialled it in our Craigieburn store, so we were taking a keen interest in how that was all progressing. But essentially, it's being done from a counter within the store, and I don't know whether that will change over time, but no, I wouldn't expect that to be the case. And I mean, Bunnings. Certainly the indications that Bunnings are providing, their commitment to stores is as strong as ever.
Yeah, no, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking more that if you need less product on the shelf at some point, that maybe what you thought might be a store in your portfolio, which is a little bit small for their current format, that may actually become relevant again if they don't have to display as much product.
Time will tell, about that. Yeah, so anyway, we'll continue to watch it with a lot of interest.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Carlos.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time.
Okay. Well, if that's it, thank you very much for everybody participating in this call. It's an interesting day in the stock market and be a busy few weeks. But happy to take any other questions offline if you want to get in contact at any stage, either today or over the next few weeks. So thanks again. So we will end the call here.
Thank you so much. That does conclude the conference for today. Thank you so much for your attendance. You may now disconnect.